amit már genált. Fighting a struggle and passion for passion with the sad female Allison from his name of Patak. They drusha had been this is all of the machshuva fad never the inglut. So the shmein and the kinder schreiben wegen the inglut mit Leibi from the slum. Ich will reden mit Bechlau wegen Safety und was man darf sagen, wie man darf auslernen Kinder und wie man darf auslernen Eltern, wie er soll zu reden mit Kinder, als es ist unglaublich safe und für Abuse. Ich heiße Jakob Horowitz, ich heiße nicht, Jiddisch ist nicht mein Sofer, ich scheine es nicht, der Film ist so verschneit. Na, man hat mich gebeten zu reden in Jiddisch für die heimische Eulung und mit der Klau, bei den Amerikanern Eulung zu tun, mehr Drusches wegen dieser Sachen. Hab ich geklärt. Ich hab mich zugestellt an Appointment morgen mit einem Dentist, der Verrechten, ich bin gewähnt, ich hab die Chesmolamit für 15 Jahre Fahrrechen gemacht, angefangen in meiner Yeshiva. Yeshiva darf ich nein, wir sind Yeshiva in Manzi. Ich bin im Nahal für die Yeshiva. Das ist schon 14 Jahre. In der Woche der Programm, das heißt Tragic Yes. Und mit Rufen in seiner Arbeit ist mit at-risk Kindern, mit Kindern, die sind in oder auf dem Weg, oder auf dem Weg zu dem Chalila. Und bei 11, 10 Uhr zurück habe ich beginnen mit Schrauben wegen der Issue of Abuse in Molestation. Ich habe gesagt damals, als ich die größte Siebe von Kindergeiner auf der Dere. Ich habe geschrieben damals, ich habe von jener Zeit bis jetzt gerät und gerät wegen dem. Ich habe geschrieben als auch. Und ich habe mich mit dem, als es also. Und ich habe als auch Drusches weggenehmen. Es war immer in June, habe ich gehalten fünf Drusches in Baltimore, in Muncie, in Flatbush, Push it to train parents. Auszulernen, wie sollen wir da reden mit Kindern? Sie sei jetzt nächstes, sie sei pushen, sie nicht nur komplizierte Sachen. Aber man darf verstehen die Indien. In der Sorgearbeit sei es so Mama spekiert, nein, für jede Tante und jede Mama da reden mit den Kindern. Und man darf dann bequem mit denen, man darf verstehen die Parche. Und ich bin gewähnt, ich bin gefest, Mohammed. Als ich mal mit dem Lernen, ein Kind hat das Schale. So. My rule in class, the rule of the main azoi. Tell me a fraked a what if question. A what if? Efter, du staff me red noch sheer. Na sheer gewein a shoot out, in mitten sheer, me tun ich mafsig zahn, far a what if. Efter, aber tell me, was ich verstanden, push up shot, was ich verstanden, was ich gesorgt, ich gebeten die Kinder, so aufhagen die Hand und so. Okay, das ist gewein the rule in my class. A what if kasha, so versteht sich. Buchen, jeder Mal, ich tue es, what if, hab ich gesagt, andere Werte, how about, was, hab ich hier losgelernt in Jiddisch. Aber, ich will machen dieselbe Rule, du. Und du, auch heute, wie bald ich rede in Jiddisch, musst du mit seiner Sache mehr, was soll nicht verstehen. So, du verstehst nicht, was ich sage. Ich sage, ich weiß nicht, das ist eine Sache. So, entschuldige, darf ich reden in Jiddisch? Jeder versteht Englisch, du? Okay.
I'm
hoping
the dentist.
Yeah, okay, well, tell to cancel my appointment. Okay, so I'll speak in English, but if somebody doesn't understand, if you don't understand, I'll do a little of both. If you don't understand what I'm saying, if you have any question, please feel free to raise your hand.
What if I break my teeth?
I want to ask you an honest question. Before I start, do I have to convince anybody that you need to protect your children against molestation? If anybody needs convincing, raise your hand, please. I really mean it. Is there anyone here who thinks that it's not important to speak to your children or that we don't have a problem with abuse in our community because we're a Haimish Olam and everybody's safe and there's no problems? Anybody believe that? Okay, I don't know if you. Okay,
those people aren't here.
Then I'll just go on with my. I'm sorry.
Say those people aren't here.
Those people aren't here. Okay, das geht gesagt.
I can say one thing. I was involved in Williamsburg in this issue, and there was a meeting, and I don't know if it's a proof. A Satberuf, but somebody from the Moedon, from Zanem and Nahalem, from all the other buildings, in Gerät wegen der Minion, the old Satberuf, Rabbi Yoidisch noch. In one of the Nahalem, in the Bainzen building, in the Schnuppen, in the Schimpen, Lainisch. He told them to pack his bag and go home without the Schumas now, because you don't know what's flying in your building.
Okay. Look, Rabbi Said. I wrote an article called Human Problems. I wrote three articles about abuse in Mishpacha magazine. If you're interested, you can look it up. It's on my website. It's rabbihorowitz.com. Later, I'll send around the paper if you want to sign up for my website. I send emails usually once a week, once every 2 weeks on different things that I write. So I wrote there that the first two articles were about just the issue of abuse. And the third article, it's called Human Problems. I said that, look, we all have, every community all over the world has different issues to deal with. These aren't Jewish problems, they're not Heimische problems, they're human problems. They only become Jewish problems and Heimische problems when we deny that they're there. And when we ignore problems, they fester and they multiply, befrat in the issue of abuse. There's an expression in the abuse world, that there's an expression among therapists, a guy does that, hurt people, hurt people. Hurt people, people who are hurt, hurt people. And one of the things that's troubling us, that we're having such a difficult time with, is that there are victims who themselves were abused as children, and they never sorted it out in their own heads. They didn't get it fixed, so to speak. And they're walking around never suffering. And l'chayri, you'd say, the last person in the world to abuse anybody would be an abused child. If I remember, I have an interesting thought on Pashas Mishputim. So if I remember, I'll share it with you later. But let's get down to Tachlis, especially now that I don't have to think about thinking of Yiddish. I'll be a little more comfortable and get started. So this project, yes, it's a safety initiative, and it's the Karasik, so we call it the Project Yes Karasik Safety Initiative for Zecher Nishmas Ratzon Basot Tzvi. Let me get started. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take about 20-25 minutes, and I'm going to talk to you specifically about issues related to speaking to your children about child safety, what you need to do, and what the main issues are in terms of personal safety. And then I'm going to talk to you about parenting things afterwards that have nothing to do with abuse. I'm going to spend about 10-15 minutes talking about general parenting issues. The reason, I should really talk about general parenting, because it's a prerequisite. One of the most important things that you need to keep your children safe is that they should talk to you regularly. That's what a real and echte and emissive open kesher with your children. That they come home and the child it's very, very important that you have this sort of dialogue with your children. And I'm going to give you some practical ways. A lot of people, say, how was your day? All right, Alice and Arthur, they go up to the room. Especially you have teenagers, right? They don't talk. They mumble. How was your day? So how do you get them to talk to you? And what are the types of things that you need to do to really have a kesher with your children? But I'll do that later, because I want to deal with these issues first. Okay? So the first question is, does it work? So my first question before that was, do we have a problem? So I hope everybody realizes that we have a problem. And in this Imglut Nebuch, we Peshul and I had the first discussion way before this started. He saw some advertisements that we did for the program, and he asked that I should come up here, and we were supposed to do it next week, but the idea was we were supposed to do it anyway. And, you know, the fact is this horrible, horrible tragedy. I just wrote an article this week, this past weekend, I released it Wednesday, and I wrote that for parents to only speak to their children about not getting into a car with somebody else, or to be aware of strangers, you're missing the point. That's one little nakuda. That's one nekuda of the overall safety issue. So the question is, does it work? So I want to give you a push a mushel. I want you to think about this. Imagine that you're sitting out with your family, and you're having a picnic here. It's very nice. I see this very nice grounds here. You go with your mishpucha, you sit outside, everybody's having a, you're having whatever, you made a barbecue, you're eating leftovers from Shabbos, whatever it is. And imagine you all have chicken, and you have children in ages, 2 years old, 4 years old, 6, 8, you know, kinder ranging in age from 2 years old to 12. Now, imagine that I walk over, stell dich vor, ich gehe zu zum Tisch, und ich nehme sich Essen von jedem einem's portion. How old does your child have to be? Is the 4-year-old going to notice? 6-year-old? 8-year-old? I would tell you, probably after age 3, maybe even earlier, a child will say, hey, it's fine. What are you doing? You want to try try taking a snack away from one of these children. Okay, go. It's snack time, the kids go to whatever, the concession, the canteen, they come with a lollipop. Try taking away a lollipop from a child. I'm not suggesting that you do it with each other's kids. Try your own first. The first thing they're going to tell you is, hey, it's mine. What is this to do? It's mine. They might say it, they might react like that, they might give you a look. However they express that to you, the clear message is, this is mine, it belongs to me, please. Sei mir gesinnt. I propose to you, Rabbi Sein, if by the kind, Oslan and I are kinder, if you can train your children to think about their own bodies like they do a lollipop of theirs, something that belongs to me, it doesn't belong to you, and you're not allowed to take anything that's private from me, that's really it. It's so simple, Rabbi Sein. That's it. It's as simple and as complicated as that. We need to train our children that their bodies and their personal space is completely sneistic. It isn't a mashu of any of this discussion that the most heimish of person should feel uncomfortable having with the kinder big names. It's mamish push the zachen, and it's a zayir idol. But you just have to get them to think like this. You have to get them to think that I have a space around me, and this gehört zu mir. Jeder versteht that the manekel gehört zu mir. If somebody came over and just ripped my jacket off my shoulder, everybody would say, any child would say, hey, this is us. That's how you have to get your children to think. So, let me talk to you about the basic messages that are important for parents to tell the children. I'm going to go through them quickly, and then I'm going to go a little bit truthistic. And please, if you have any questions, as I said before, if you have a what if, when I'm finished, if you have a question, don't understand something that I'm saying, please speak up now. So the basic messages are, number one, nobody's allowed to tell a child a secret that they shouldn't tell their parents. You train your children. If somebody tells you, okay, that's message number one. To train your children, there is no hechetimtze in this welt that anybody should tell your children not to tell you something. When I'm an alpha in a yeshiva, it's extraordinarily inappropriate. Since you can shim seed in the welt, as it's a little bit of a time with there's no such thing. And that's number one. Number two is about the personal space. The children's own time back fame with the notion, with the concept, as their body, their space, and there's some ways to train them to do this. Another thing is, you're not supposed to, children have a right to speak up if they're not comfortable. If a child is made uncomfortable by an adult, they have a schist, they have a right to say, no, stop doing this, I don't like this. Number four is good touch, bad touch, we call it. Good touch, bad touch, meaning touching, some touching is okay, and some touching is not okay. And there's a very tsanua way to say this and explain it to children. Those are basically the four things. Nothing is foolproof. Nothing is foolproof. But I could almost guarantee you that children who are trained, like I can guarantee you that children who are trained and understand this are far less likely to be molested, because It's not foolproof. It's like a car alarm. A car alarm, if you have a car alarm in your car, it's not foolproof. Somebody can steal your car. But they're not going to go to a car that has a blinking red light. So the one of the cars, it's not foolproof. But if there's an alarm there and it works, nobody's going to start up with it. You can see, I can certainly see, put me in a room with children, I can tell you, watching them 5-10 minutes, you can see which children have the self-confidence to protect themselves when somebody starts up with them. So it's not foolproof, but it really, really does work. So let me go through them. Number one, don't tell your parents. It's simple, just tell it to your children. You know, one of the things we have a hard time with, the kinderfolgen is nicht das Sach, right? There's so many things we tell them, but they don't listen to us. So, man macht da, er pusht da kaum ein Chäumer. Man, wenn ich stehe dort, man folgt mir nicht. Wer soll man befolgen? Ein Jahr später, als ich bin dort. But it's not true. The children really do. Das ist eine Masse, was ich passiert in meiner Yeshiva. Fahr schwierig. Ich habe gehabt, ich schmiss mit den Eltern in meiner Yeshiva. 10 oder 11 Jahre zurück. I found out that I didn't know who it was, or I would have gone to the police. I found out from, you know, because of my project, yes, I have a day job and a night job. My day job is a lot of fun. I get to walk in yeshiva, listen to children learn. The night job is not that much fun. So, because of my night job, I found out that there was somebody in town that was molesting kids. I didn't know who it was. And I got very nervous. It was like right before the summer. She missed time. So I called an emergency meeting with my parents, and I said, "Rabbi, everybody has to come. Every father, every mother." I made a sign-in sheet at the door. I said, "Whoever doesn't sign in, I'm going to call you tomorrow and ask you why you weren't there. I want every single person." Well, almost everybody came. And I spoke to them like this. And one of the first things I started with is tell children to tell your parents, you know, if somebody tells you not to tell your parents, to tell them. Forgot about it, went on. A full year later, a year später, Schwierigkeiten, I live in the Morris, but in the Middichol, but she made a project with the kinder. She made the kinder zal machen blimen for the mamas. So they was paint, they colored. One day, the first day, they cut it out and they pasted it, and it was supposed to dry. And then the next day, the last day before Shavuos, they were going to paint it and take it home. So the teacher on the way out, no, told the kids, "It's a good for the mama, it's a surprise." Okay? Now, in medical terms, we call this a false positive. It's called a false positive. Someone goes for a heart exam or whatever, and they see something, and there was something there, but it wasn't that. But it's called a false positive. This was a false positive. There was nothing wrong. The teacher didn't do anything inappropriate. But the children were dismissed at 4:15. They get dismissed at 4:15. 2 minutes later, my cell phone started to ring off the hook. For the next hour, I got one phone call after another. The parents, they weren't upset. The parents knew what happened. They didn't think there was anything wrong. They were nishtoyim that the children remembered. Because we told them they were going to get a gift. Every kid came home and said, "Mama, the Mama hat gesucht, come on, hand it over." So it was a false positive, but it works. You can train children to get safety messages and listen to it. This issue, never, dem Taya Kent Leiby, it's one of the things you tell children, don't go out. And Mr. Masa, this year, this school year, the beginning of the school year, 10 months ago, a Talmud of mine, who is 5 years old, he goes on the bus every morning. There's a bus from the district, you know, it's not a yeshiva bus, we don't have buses, the school district has it, so they're not our people. So the school bus pulls up, and the Shkenyi Shemensh was driving it. None of them are Haim Shinkalad, none of them are. So the bus driver pulls up, and it was a substitute bus driver. And Mr. Master, 5-year-old kid, he looks up, he says, "Hey, who are you?" He asks the driver, "Who are you?" And the driver says, "Oh, I'm Jimmy, I'm the regular driver, he's not here today. Come on the bus." You know, Grada and Muncie, when they open the bus doors, the traffic does stop. I know if you live in the city, it's hard to imagine this. but you know, traffic does stop on both sides of the road. So, you know, people start honking, and you know, people start, you get on the bus, come on, come on. And the kid wouldn't move. He went back to his mother. He says, Mommy, I don't know who that is. I'm not going on the bus. If we would have been training our children, it really does work. Let me talk to you about personal space. Research shows that if you teach your children as simple a message as this drawer belongs to you, or this box, you have a box in your room, children as young as 3 and 4 years old, if you give them a thing for their toys and you tell them the other children have to ask permission to go in there, Lemushel, the research shows that even something as simple as that is extraordinarily helpful in helping children stay safe. Because when the children see this, when something comes up and they get used to the idea from Kind Fasun that there are certain things belong to me. So I encourage you at home to try to get your children from a very young age used to this idea. This drawer, this box, this thing, it's extremely, extremely helpful. People can... I'm sorry? You teach children, so you say certain things are for everybody. Certain things are for everybody. You could share, but thank you. But then he make a decision, right? You tell them you should share. Thank you. That's not what I wanted. You can tell your children it's good that you should share these things. If your brother or sister asks you, you should share. It's very nice to share. But you have a right to say, I don't want to share it. Yes? I'm going to say, that's my next speech. Yep, that's the next point. That's excellent. Most molesters are people that the children know. I'm going to get to that next. So training them about not making them. The next thing is to train them that nobody has the right to make them feel uncomfortable. And most of the research shows is that when children, a lot of victims. Later on, they say, you see, it's very hard because we train them as to be the veritik. It's a shvil azuv. You need to find the balance between teaching your children to be the veritik and respectful and always, but to say, if they feel uncomfortable, to say, stop. I'm sorry, you... Der Kind hat das Riss zu suchen, das macht man im Befehl, head off. And they can say it politely, but they should get them into the idea that they're allowed to do this. I mentioned that, you know, there was a Supreme Court justice in the United States, a chief justice, chief judge of the Supreme Court, and his name was Oliver Wendell Holmes. Er hat einmal gesagt, als ein guter Judge und ein guter Lawyer darf trachten wie ein Ganer. Okay? Because Menschen kommen bevor sie über seine Ganoven. Man darf trachten, wie tracht er, als man sein Eidl in der Schumme, was lernt Schmier Solution und auf Zheim, ein ganzer Tag, muss tun, dass man nicht kann geht der Scheife. Jeder kommt vor, oi, als die bist der Zadig, sei geheim gesinnt der Heid. A Judge darf trachten einmal wie ein Ganer. Let me ask you differently. If you want to put a burglar alarm in your house, you're building a new house, and you want to put a burglar alarm, who's the best person to teach you what you should do to make the house safe? The guy. You call the guy and say, if you were going to my house, how would you get in? He says, I love these bushes in front. You have these three bushes, that's fantastic. I can hide, then I have an hour, I can play around with the window. So you got the bush down. You know, you think of what predators do. They try to invade the children's space, they try to get the children not to tell their parents, they start off with things that are not abusive and move their way in. So these are the simple messages that you need to give your children in order to keep them safe. And, you know, what I wrote in this piece this week, it's called Our 9/11. If you're interested, Festivus, you want to send the papers around, please. If you want to, just give a few, please. If anybody wants to, Rabbi, I have an email list. If you're interested, You can just put your name, and the city we live in, the email address, and I'll have my secretary add you to the list if you'd like. Okay, and also if you have any questions, if you're not comfortable, if you can send a few to the women, please. If you're not comfortable raising your hand and asking the question, feel free to write on one of the cards that Apesha prepared and send them up. Okay, and the final thing is good touching, bad touching. And the basic message of Sukhazun Fakendit, as I said before, is good touching, I can touch you, Yeshua Malachim, good. And bad touching is when people touch you and it's not okay. Now, one of the most simplest and sneestic ways to say it to boys and to girls is you tell them that anything that's covered by a bathing suit, nobody's allowed to touch you there. It's very, very simple, it's very sneestic, and it's very effective. Real simple. Anything covered by a bathing suit, nobody's allowed to touch you in a spot that's covered by a bathing suit. And it's extremely important. Don't say only people who know you or only mishpucha mention. I know you don't believe me. I don't blame you. I know it's hard to process that this Haimisha mentioned and this mishpucha members, most abused as from family members, the kids down the block, kids in the next. I don't want to make everybody crazy, but it is what it is. It is what it is, Rabbi. It's the biggest sakuna your children have by ruchnias and gashmias, 10 times more than anything else. I'm telling you, look, I wrote this before all the arrests. 10 years ago, I wrote it. The biggest reason, biggest reason kids go off the derech. I cannot remember a hard drug user who wasn't abused. I cannot remember, in all my years of dealing with kids, I'm not talking about a kid who smokes marijuana, I'm about a kid who's using hard drugs or attempted suicide. Every one of these kids were molested. I wouldn't say everyone, 95%. I know you don't listen to Uncle Yankee. Trust me on this one. And look at the arrests. Look how many people are in the system. The average molester in the secular world, where the average I'm the Yehidi. What access do they have to children? Think of what we have access to kids, as opposed to in the non-Yiddish world. The average secular molester molests 52 kids in his lifetime. There's nothing more important than this. You gotta speak to your kids about this. There's nothing else. This is it. I'm not, nothing else. If you, in order of importance, your job as a parent, 1 through 8, is making sure they're safe. Everything else is important, but it starts at 9. You got to do this, Rabbi Say. I know, you know, there's a thing in English called cognitive dissonance. It's called cognitive dissonance. If you want to, again, if I remember, maybe I'll email someone. You know, I'm sorry, on the homepage of my website, I moved the articles that are listed by when they were published. The articles on abuse, I had my assistant move it to the top. So if you go to my website, it's rabbihorowitz.com, there's about 5-6 articles on abuse there. So I really would encourage you to look at some of them. There's a thing called cognitive dissonance. Cognition means seichel. Dissonance means hastira. So there's a real thing. You read the definition, cognitive dissonance. You look it up, you can write it down if you'd like to. Excuse me. That means if the mayach is makabel epis, or hears something, you hear something, was macht echem bachem. It's a steer to what you're doing. So you say, yeah, it can't be. You know, the mushul, somebody's smoking. It doesn't, hey, it's not healthy. People die, you have lung cancer. Yeah, whatever. I have a 98-year-old guy, he's 90 guy smoking until he's 98, yeah, the vice versa. That really in his mind he knows that it's true. No, but that's a chan. When there's a steer, you really read the definition, this is exactly what it is. So I'm a shomer Torah mitzvahs. In the machmer of Chavayis was this as a behindish zachet that didn't care. You find out somebody was arrested or somebody somebody. You have to get over this. You really have to get over this in your heads. So the good touching, bad touching is simply to teach each other. But when you speak to them, mamalushim. The only one who's allowed to touch you in a spot covered by a bathing suit is the tata in the mama when we're bathing you, and a doctor while he's examining you, and mommy or tati are in the room. That's it. Nobody else. If you, I'm allowed to kinder by the Baba Zaida, then you should say, Babi and Zaidi, when tati and mommy go away, then Babi and Zaidi can. Be befeindish. Medavs is certain befeindish. There's nothing else works. You gotta tell them to say, unless you wind up sending them to a shvugger or somebody else, then tell them. They're gonna bathe you, so then they're allowed to, but nothing else. Okay, let me just review them very quickly. Don't tell children they should be trained that no one's allowed to tell them not to tell their parents. Talk to them about the personal space. Nobody's allowed to make you feel uncomfortable. Good touching, bad touching. That's it. What breaks my heart, I can't begin to tell you the tsar when I hear, and I just mean this lady, when I hear that children were molested, it's so simple. It's so easy. Look at this. It's so simple. These are just, it works. It's mamish works. Please, I beg you, Rabbi Sain. There was here in the Emes HaMasa, we were driving. I did a talk like this. I did a teleconference like this last June. I did a few teleconferences where people called in. And there were about, 500, 1,000 people on the call. And in the month of August, I get a phone call from a woman. I was driving. I didn't have my Bluetooth, so my Rebbetzin picked up the phone. And she says, it's Horowitz. I don't actually have my cell phone number, whatever. So it's a Chazoy Tzavayit. My wife started crying. She called to thank me for saving her son's life. Here in the Catskills, there was a summer camp, and there was a substitute Rebbe for the day. And her son, she spoke to the son before the camp. The simple zachen, just the stuff, that's it, nothing. And she sent them off to camp, and he and a friend were approached by this person. Her son knew exactly what was going on. He started screaming at the top of his lungs. He ran to the office. He says, call my mother, screaming, call my mother. I'm sorry, we don't make calls now. Every second Friday, you call my mother, somebody touched me, they call my mother. And they called right away. And his friend, Nebuch, was sodomized by the guy, Rachel Muslim. It's that simple. I'm begging you, Rabbi Sain. I'm telling you, I know you're finding it hard to believe. I know part of you doesn't believe it. I'm begging you, Rabbi Sain. I'm begging you. Please take it seriously and see that you speak to your children. If you're a Zayda, like the kids' kinder, the only thing that's going to stop this is education. And when every child knows this, it's going to stop. That's when it's going to stop. Nothing else is going to stop it. Education is the key. Let me, one final thing on this, and then I'm going to go to some of the parenting things. I'm going to do it quickly because I'm a little late. The research shows that if you get very nervous when you speak to your children don't listen to you. They hear what you're saying, but they freeze. The research shows, if you think of it like 1 to 10, okay, 0 to 10. 0 is not nervous at all. Let me tell you, nobody's allowed to tell you, that's 0. And 10 is, you have to listen to me. So if you're up there, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the kids get so bugged out, they say in English, they're so nervous, that they don't listen to you. The research shows that if I'm an adult tells you something like this, your brain thinks like that siren. I didn't plan this. You know, your brain freezes. Oh, I'm in an emergency. What's going on? And they can't listen to you. So you're supposed to be a little bit anxious. 2, 3, 4. That's the range. It's important enough that you also tell them they shouldn't chew with their mouth open or their face. You know, don't. Whatever it is. So it's important that you be calm when you tell this to your children. Explain to them that it's important, but be calm. I've been working on this for 18 months. We're producing, I hope it'll be published within a few weeks. I've been working on something for parents, a tool for parents, so that you should be able to speak to your kids. It's like it's like a storybook for kids, that you can read all these messages to your children, and relaxed on the couch, it sort of gives you a guidebook. It, 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 you'll, sign up for the thing if you want. It should be pretty well advertised. Yeah, I hope it'll be published in Mitzvah before the start of the school year. Okay, let me talk to you about general parenting, and then I'll take any questions. What age should one speak to the children? That's not a what if. Thank you. You should start speaking to your children about these things at zicha by 3 years old. For sure. Thank you for asking the question. For sure by 3 years old. Some of these things are very simple, and even little children can understand. Kifi erkam, of course. But once they're able to start communicating, it's important to start getting these messages across to them. Any questions like that, that not what ifs, that just clarification questions, I'll gladly take them now if you wish. Ladies, if anybody wants to write something and send it, I'll be glad to take it.
A little bit, good touch, bad touch.
Yeah, okay. What's, you don't understand. Thank you for asking. How do you give it over? You explain to them that you see, it's important to say that you don't say anybody who touches you is nobody's allowed to touch you. So you explain to them most touching is okay between people, but there's good touching and there's some touching that's not good. It's not appropriate. Use whatever word you want to use. It's not a proper way for people to touch you. And one way to explain this is that if this place is covered by a bathing suit, let's say Lamushin, say nobody's, like the guy's in the pool, or you're outside the pool, or you're in your bungalow, or you're out in the playground, kind of turchashumir in a plant so sigilek the bathing suit. That's it. And you'll get false positives, like I said before. Someone's going to push, they're just pushing around, nothing wrong. But you don't say, yeah, I didn't mean that. You don't say, they say, who did it? I'll talk to him. You're not supposed to just like, machasavek. Did I answer your question? Okay. Anybody else in terms of clarification? Oh, it's the camera. Anybody else have a question in terms of clarification? One thing that's important. All right, I'll get to it a little later. Let me talk to you about parenting stuff. It's extremely important. If I say all of this, basically everything we're talking about is predicated on medachot makesher with the kinder, because they're not going to talk to you if you don't have the kesher with them. It's very unlikely that they're going to have these types of discussions with you. Please. Kinder to kinder, absolutely, sure. The Medavsa Oslan has under the kinder to us, of course. Sure, a lot of times what happens is Nebuch as a kind that molested, a lot of times they act it out. They don't understand it, especially younger kind, as a Versteinisch. The Steinisch Nebuch was a facet to say, of the Weissen Meseit, some Machtes of Andere. I'll tell you that later. There's a kid in Pashas Meshputim. He was a Haruf, a guy to him with the Torah and the Shoskas, like Tunish Kit for a Mugen. And Pashas Meshputim, it kicked fast straight to my mole, to say, Mazal handle an Erlich with a Geir. Vahaftam is a Geir. So it's my mole. The first one steht, Vahaftam is Kigerim Yisam Beretz Mitzrayim. The Geir was son of Lossi Chatzani Kigerim Yisam Beretz Mitzrayim. So the Chepan a Geir isn't Kigerim Yisam Beretz Mitzrayim. Nuch dem steht, Pashishi, später im Pasha steht, the gay mazal is chepen agair, the atem midatem is nefesh agair, ki gay mi is a betrun. The zweite mul steht, the tanasin is tam. So, koipen kol, ich hakaim mulsh verstanden, the Rashi is pshant. Rashi is pshant, the alam mulsh, Rashi is ugg, nehm shabuch al toim alach avrich, ja? As, am it chepen dem, ken it ugg, ha, di vtoch ugg, vein agair. Mazuk is vefat the kinder, mazuk the kinder, shlug nish da andere kinder, wussal, shlug nish da andere kinder, mazuk is nish nechtig, nehm shabuch al toim alach avrich. It's a second or third thing you tell your children, not the first thing. Ich habe geschrieben, Cypher, der Retire of the Parish for teenagers. So, meiste Sachen, was ich schreibe, was da passiert, meiste der Woche, ist, ich habe nämlich gehabt, sehr schwer Abuse Case. Vier, fünf Jahre zurück, Parish ist nicht gut. Es ist mir angefallen, dass es schon, Ulla Juchel Leumann. Ich habe gesagt, früher, hurt people, hurt people. Ja, Menschen, die sind gechappet, abused Menschen sind more likely zu sein abusers. L'chodes, fach mal eine Sache. Also, ein Mitzvah, das ist abused, the last thing in the world you think is that it'll abuse somebody else. Aber man sagt doch. And you see this every place. You go on a school bus, eighth graders have the best seats, right? They push all the other kids away. So what do the other kids say? When I'll be an eighth grader, I'm going to be nice. Everybody can sit wherever they want. You see the Marines. Somebody comes into the army, the old people, you know, the new guys, they make them do push-ups. The other people take the rookies, and nuchdem, jede Mensch, was is gewesen, every person that was bothered by somebody, I'm sure he said to himself, I'm never going to do this again. A year later, they're doing it to the next one. So there's something, hurt people, there's something there that when you get gechepet, it's just human nature. Maybe you don't understand it. Little the Mustafina, Eshikam and Zuknas, this is the Torah Zuknas, the Eshtamul, the Torah Zuknas, the Hafnas again, is a Mazazan. Gail, a son of the Lois of Hatsenum, Mazalus Chepin Agai, in the Chavmoida, that ihr werdet das Team, weil ihr sind allein gewesen, Gail in Mitzrayim, but ach, the nation, in the Volk hat man gechepet, is, Luch, Eshir, ich Zugach, Tiers nicht, weil you're susceptible, Siz Gatsi Yechol, Siz Kenzan, that you'll be more likely to abuse other. And when a geir kommt daran, you'll be nasty to him because Mitzrayim was nasty too. The Zeitung will steht. Wegen dem, sin ist time. The Zeitung will steht. Die verstehst. Das ist ein anderer. Anyway. Okay, I got that out of my system. Thank you. Let me talk to you about parenting. Please get in the habit of asking your children to share the day with you. Child comes home, please get in the habit of saying, how was your day? And if you're working, and if you're working, you're working, you're busy, you're coming, find 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes, that's all it takes. 3 minutes, how was your day? It's so important, and I'm begging you to say, please turn off your cell phones. 3 minutes, 5 minutes, you come home, please turn off your cell phones. Please, a few minutes a day. You know, second Shabbos, the Nebuch, somebody has an arm, you know, people who have amputated limbs, they say it's cool, like they feel like they think their hand is there still, you know? So now, you know, people are missing their cell phones. Like on the Shabbos, you know, like the guys are walking around, like, you know, like you get this false, so like you turn it off for a few minutes a day. Please, it's so important to your children. I'm spending the day with our daughter today. Daughter's sitting in the parking lot. We're spending the rest of the day together. So we do, she's our baby and our youngest, and we do a few days like this a year. So I wrote an article, if you're interested, it's called Time Not Money. It's on my website, it's called Time Not Money, about spending time with your kids. I wrote there, Emma Massa, when she was 10 years old, I asked her, what do you want to do today? Anything you want, I'm with you. So the night before, we go shopping, that's part of the experience. Take them shopping and, you know, buy with Nash, whatever you want. So I told her, I said, Sarah, we're going out tomorrow. What would you like? What can I buy for you? I meant Nash. She was 10 years old. She says, Tati, can you buy me? I want a cell phone battery. She didn't have a cell phone. She was 10 years old. She wanted my cell phone battery. She told me that she said, Tati, I want you, can I have your cell phone battery? So I said, what do you mean? She says, when we leave the house, I want to take your battery, and I'll give it back to you at the end of the day. So, to do it all day, I'm not going to tell you something that's not realistic. But a couple of minutes a day, Another suggestion I really have is try to ask a question that only you could know as a parent. Thank God for Blackberries. If you want to send somebody a text message on a Blackberry or a lot of other phones are like this, when you go to text messaging, you see the whole thread, right? You see all the conversations you had with that person by text messaging for the last, year or two, right? Try to do this with your kids. When you have a conversation with them, try to carry on the conversation from what you were talking about before. It's the nicest compliment in the world. And I'm telling you now, if your children are not talking to you, if your kids aren't, if you're having a hard time, especially if you have a teenager, and you're asking questions like, how was your day? How was lunch? How was the bus ride home? Simon Michael, you don't deserve a better answer than okay. A question that's generic, A question that I could ask, that Heschel could go over to any of your kids and say, how was your day? How was your bus ride? How was your thing? It's not personal. It's a general question. You know, when you say, how are you doing, you really don't want the other person to answer. You think about it. You know, they say in America, in English they say, what's the definition of somebody who doesn't have a life? What's the definition of somebody that, like, you ask him how he's doing and he tells you. You know, right? You don't really want an answer. You say, how you doing? It's like, I've seen Heschel. Hey, Heschel, what's Machmas? Allison, how you doing, Heschel? I actually have a hangnail on one of my toes. It's bothering me. I'm like, my back is bothering me. Try this with somebody. Next time somebody tells you how you doing, answer them. Tell them what's going on in your life. I guarantee within 2 seconds they're going to start checking their emails or walk away from it. I'm sorry, you got to go. They don't want to hear an answer. So when you go to your kids and you say, Shifu, how was your day? Fine. You don't deserve better. If you ask them, how was the Bechina? Or your child tells you yesterday at day camp, last week they couldn't get into the pool because whatever. And you ask them, were you able to swim today? How did it work? Somebody splashed me in the pool. Finish the conversation. Finish the conversation. Just keep a thread. Years ago, I was more brave. I was younger. My teeth were stronger. I did 3 workshops in Yiddish in the Chassidish community. They asked me to come. It was about 10, 11 years ago. So, it was 3 Monday nights. So the first night, I spoke to them about relationships with your children. I didn't know about abuse then. I was much more relaxed. I just spoke, my anxiety level was 0. I walked in and talked about relationships with kids. So I told them, this basically, you know, spend time with your kids, isn't it? So whenever I speak to the same oil the second time, I always call the person who's massaged it, and I say, hey, this is the guy from the oil, you know. I have to have feedback. So I called up the guy Sunday morning, and I said, So he said, a lot of the Ingalat came to him and said, you know, 2.2 kids and a cat, you know, it was in Muncie. How are you? So the rule is, if you speak to a person and they don't and they think you don't understand them, right? Because the guys are like, all right, yeah, whatever. You know, they know you don't understand them. The Sifre Misra, they call it Nikita Sabachira. So verstehen wie ein Mensch halten sein. Okay? So I said to myself, the second speech and the third speech is a waste of time if I don't address this issue, because they think I don't understand their lives. So I better figure out how to address this. It was in Spain. So I went to, when I started the speech the next time, I asked for volunteers. I said to Rabbi, I'd like 3 people to volunteer. I'd like to ask you some questions. I'd say, yeah, we had a few guys raise their hands. So I asked the person, I said, tell me, who's the busiest person in the square? The Rebbe, right? So he says, the Rebbe. So I said, let me tell you, when was the last time you went to the Rebbe? Tell me, here are the questions. I'm going to ask all 3 of you. When was the last time you went to the Rebbe? How long did you spend with him? And how did you feel when you left? So he tells me, he says, when was the last time? Whatever, 5-6 weeks ago. How long were you there? 4 minutes. You know, you get a little... So he was there for just a few minutes. How did you feel? Fantastic. So I said, why did you feel good? Set aside Ruchnias, you know, just put all that aside. Tell me what made you feel good about it. So he says, he was very articulate, it was very interesting. He says, he continued the conversation. I walked into him, the Rebbe is busy, and with him, alles gestorben. The Rebbe gives me his full attention, and while I'm there, there's nothing else that Rebbe does today. Phone calls, I know he's busy, he gives me his full attention. And I walk in, he always picks up the conversation. He says, how does he do this? So I said, if the Rebbe could do it with you, you could do this with your children, even if you come home late at night, and even if you have 3 minutes with them. Really, really, Rabbi Say, I really encourage you to do this. And teach your children. It's also very important to teach your children that they can discuss anything they want with you. It's very important to tell this befeidish to your children. A lot of the issues with abuse, it's very uncomfortable to speak to parents about this. So, and a lot of times the molesters make the children feel like they're doing something wrong. Excuse me, so it's very important to befeidish, tell your children if there's anything, you can talk to me about anything you want. Okay, so I'm going to take some questions if you have any. Miyumka de Libya, I want to give you a bracha for Siyata Deshmaya and Nachas from your own children. And I really beg you, Rabbi Yisrael, I beg you, please take this seriously. And I'm not telling you something that's, you know, Yiddish related. It's very easy to do. It's beficha b'lvovcha l'asayspa. It's l'asayspa. It's very, very easy to do. It so happens I have on my website, there's a video clip of a talk that I gave like this in English, where I didn't even pretend to speak Yiddish. If you have it, forward it to your friends and beg them. You should know something, Rabbi Yisrael. If you have 12 families here next to each other, if 6 of you do it and 6 of you don't, you're still vulnerable. You're still not protected until every child knows this. I'm telling you, Rabbi Yisrael, it's the only way it's going to work. And I'm going to say something a little bit controversial. I really would ask you, please, to try to raise your children without patching them. Well, listen to me. Listen to Uncle Yankee. Listen to me. A lot of these things that I told you are very hard to train your children if you're patching them. Because you're... I'm sorry? I'm not talking about this. I said controversial. You can disagree with me. It's okay. You're welcome to disagree with me. I'm not talking about don't cross the road. I'm talking about hitting to hurt or humiliate. A lot of these things, it's very, very hard. I've told you, you disagree with me, it's okay. You can disagree with me. I live where I live, and I see what I see. I have an achrayus to say things as I see them. If you're hitting your children, it is very hard to explain to them that nobody's allowed to make you feel uncomfortable, and nobody's allowed to invade your space. You're doing it. There's ways to raise idle erlich children without it. I felt an achrayus to say it. I'll give you time to disagree with me. Listen, Rabbi Yisrael, it's possible to do without it. Bishrat, because it's such a sakuna today, I think it's something that you should think about as parents. Any questions, please? Yes?
The first rule of thumb used to be don't talk to strangers. I realize you're not addressing that at all.
I did not, thank you. That is correct. No, you should.
I have a second question.
Please.
I'd like to answer. Is there an age where it's too old to speak to your child already? And it's older teenager. Can you
thank you very much. Okay, so the first question was about not speaking to strangers. It so happens I did not address this because most people tell this to the kids already. You know, I assume that most parents are having these conversations. But yes, you definitely should tell your children, you know, not to take things from strangers or not to... There's no reason that adults should be giving gifts to children or things like that. It's a perfectly reasonable thing to tell your children. And as far as the age level, it's very appropriate to have a discussion like this with a bucher of 15 or 18. You know, you don't have to, obviously it's a different discussion. You don't have the bathing suit talk with them, but you do speak about sneers and eitelkeit and absolutely. And you say that some people, if a person, you know, whatever, it is what it is. Yeah, I definitely would encourage you to have the conversation with the children. And you know, parents have to be vigilant. You have to watch your children. Stuff happens when there's chaos. If there's no shmira, your children need shmira. And it might mean, you know, it might mean that you have to change your life. And you take turns going to sleep if you have young children Shabbos afternoon with your Rebbetzin. Yeah, children need shmira. It's a very different world. Probably it's always been like this. But I'm telling you now, it is what it is. I'm repeating myself. Yes?
I'm going to follow up on this question. You say, not talking to strangers. What's the gate of a stranger? Are you that damn is a smedzish? Is a
No, I mean talking. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so you express it in a way that not saying Shalom Aleichem, if somebody comes and says hello to you, that's fine, but you should not be engaging in conversations and more than one hello, more than one hi, how are you, you know, with... By the way, there's going to be overreactions. I'm telling you, people are very nervous and people are going to overreact and it's probably not good. If you have any written questions, you can bring them up. So there's going to be an overreaction. We need a shvil asov, but you should be telling... I think you should be telling your children that they should not have... serious. They certainly shouldn't take rides from someone else. They shouldn't take gifts from people. There's no reason unless... You tell them if you're in Shia, if a Rebbe, and Yechayde, she gives a gift, isn't that? Yemenal gives you gifts, but people you don't know who are not Rebbeim of yours, and not, you know, you should not be taking gifts from them. Right, that's good, right. People taking a red flag is when adults take children off to the side by themselves. There's no legitimate reason that should ever happen. So that's a thank you. That's also something that, you know, that's a red flag. Anybody else? I'm going to wrap things up.
It somehow just seems that the thing that was very unusual about the story is that the child took a ride. The children are standing at bus stops waiting at city bus, and some of the older children.
Uh-huh.
And often my son tells me that there are someone goes by, and I ask one of them that I only do it for the older people.
In Muncie, my hometown of Muncie, kids are still hitching from the ages of 9, 10 years old. I think the parents are crazy. I tell the people. I'm just going to write an article now begging parents not to pick up hitchhikers. Because they should not.
In Bar Park, not be able to ask for directions.
I want you to know, I'm not saying, I wrote, if you read this week's article, I was meramis to it very much. I'm not 100% sure it happened like that. I don't know. I have no basis. I have no basis for saying this other than my experience.
But take the ride. Well, where the sugar?
Okay. But the important thing about this is that even if it is true, I just wrote it down. Even if it is true that he didn't know him, and I'm not convinced. Even if it is true, that is an oisnam. That happens in molestation cases. That's maybe 2 out of 100, 3 out of 100.
My son, I taught him that. People ask to ask for directions. You don't take rides.
Okay.
How likely is it in a bar park you're going to...
There's a big hakira about what you should say. I mean, a lot of people are saying go to a mommy.
Yeah.
Okay, even with these guidelines, how do you train a shy child to be assertive with adults? That's an excellent, excellent question. One of the predictors, one of the issues of... As I mentioned earlier, children who are shy and children who are extremely deferential, meaning, you know, that they're very extremely idle, are at more risk than kids who are more, you know. Now, it's balance. By the way, kids are born like this. Some children are just very timid. So you try to build up the self-confidence so that they have the capacity to say no, but understand that it is a challenge. And again, it's a balance because we really do want our children to be idle. We don't want our children, you know, telling kids, telling people, adults to.
What do you train the children? Is it checking the kinder? Come to contribute to the machine? What is it?
Okay, excellent question. What do you tell your child if somebody's already starting up with them? They should scream at the top of their lungs. That's what you train them to do. Scream at the top of your lungs and go to either Tati Umami or go to Umami there, nearby. Go to Umami, to a police officer if they're in public, if they're lost in a mall or something, or... It's usually by Enza Hanishav, that's how... So you don't take a kid's best medish if they're not going to be with you. I'm telling you, listen to me. To do this right, you have to change your life. I'm telling you, you can leave your children best medish, and you let them run around, it's going to happen. I mean, look, it is what it is. I wish it were differently. I wish, you know, to do this right really requires a lifestyle change. I know what I'm saying. And especially in environments like this, parents have to have their eyes open. And, you know, I would make a recommendation here. You do whatever you want. I'm not telling you, I'm an outsider, I'm going on, going with my daughter now. But I think if it was, this was my bungalow colony, I was the roof here, and I was a manal or whatever I was here, if had any, I would tell you to redo the fence you should redo the fence or make some demarcation that children shouldn't go in areas that are dark in the corners. They should play in an open area in front of everybody. That's what I would do. If you ask me what I think you should do, as parents, you should teach your children not to go off on the... Listen, a lot of times, I would say an enormous amount of the abuse that happens is by older children to younger children, family members, but a lot of it happens, I told you, children who were abused. So if you have, the likelihood is, you just do the numbers, the likelihood is that there are children in any place where there's a number of children who have never issues with this. And the only way to really do it is to keep your eyes open. See, there's nothing else. I wish it were different. It's you know, whatever. Yes.
So according to you, the lollipop man, Smethers, is a dangerous person. Maybe?
Don't say dangerous. I wouldn't say dangerous. What? I wouldn't say dangerous.
No, let me.
And it's okay.
Let me ask the question.
Right.
And is that lollipop man not supposed to say?
Listen to me, somebody called me up now, said, Yagi, you're out of control to me. You're making everybody crazy. His son went to camp, and his son is a counselor in camp, and a boy came the first day, says, Shul Mahim, he says, I don't touch strangers. Okay, so I don't want that to happen. That's not what we're looking for.
No, I'm asking, because there's a lollipop there.
There's a balance. I'm telling you, you can... It's in public, obviously, it's in public, and he's designated to do that. You say he's the exception. He's not a stranger, he's somebody in shul who gives out treats.
You should get down to the lobby partner, he's not a designated person.
Oh, okay, listen, it is what it is. It is what it is. Let me put it to you differently. If this was a cancer scare, Khalila, if instead of the word molester, I told you that somebody has a chmul aslan cholera or a disease, that's communicable, everybody would figure out how to keep their kids safe. If you knew that there were children here, if you took your kids to Tubas Medrash and you knew that somebody had a communicable disease like tuberculosis or Muslim, everybody would figure out what to do. Everybody would change their lifestyles and do what they had to see to it that their children are not alone, because somebody's going to come and cough on you. That's what it is. I wish it were different. So. Rabbi Sai, he's also mazel and brocha and siyata d'shmaya.
You want to ask another one question?
Anybody? Okay. I have some tapes here if anybody's interested. I have Yiddish and English. If you're interested, help yourself. I'm leaving in a few minutes, so if you want any, please just come up now. The Irish is a lot of gay, mazel and brocha and nachas, and I attend them. Thank you.